All right, Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul wrote to the people at Philippi, and a lot of it is swinging towards the Jewish persuasion because of the Jews at Philippi. And so in verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous. But for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Now, dogs is not... There's a pack of wild dogs in Philippi. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about Gentiles. Gentiles are referred as dogs in Matthew. He said, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, and that would be other Jews and lawizers and whatever. For we are the circumcision, so that gives you the indication of who they are. Okay? This could be either be Jews that were circumcised the eighth day, or it could be Jewish proselytes, but he said, we are the circumcision. And the reason I want to emphasize this, circumcision is a very important thing in the Old Testament, beginning in Genesis 17 with Abraham. And circumcision was a covenant. It was an everlasting covenant and whatever. And so you understand that the people that were circumcised had certain things they could brag about, because they were in a relationship with God. Their relationship with God was that they were in that covenant. And being in that covenant, then they could say that the God of Abraham was their God. Okay? Now, that's very important, because a lot of people read the Old Testament, and they look at the Old Testament and think that's all about them and everything in there they can claim and whatever. We're the bad guys in the Old Testament. We're the ones that God said to Israel in the circumcision, stay away from. We're the bad guys. We're the idol worshipers. We're the ones that would lead the children of Israel, who were God's people, astray. And he knew this. And he warned them. But so when it says, for we are the circumcision, Paul is talking to somebody that is going to know how to worship God in the Spirit. Watch. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. Circumcision is fleshly. You understand? But these people that he's writing to can worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now, the circumcision as the nation of Israel, what did they do to Jesus? They killed him. So, whoever this circumcision is in the book of Philippians at Philippi, they are ones that believe that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. And they're repentant. They have become repentant of killing Jesus Christ, and they have done whatever was necessary that God told them to do to be in His grace. Are you with me? They're in His grace. Paul's writing to them. Now, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and that is absolutely John. God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Okay? He said, verse 3, and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence where? Now, if I ask people today, are they saved? They give me what they did fleshly-wise. They turned from their sins. All right? Flesh had to do that because the flesh likes to sin. If you turn from your sins, then you're not letting your flesh sin any longer. Good luck. The flesh would say, I walked out. But your spirit didn't walk out. Flesh walked out. And on and on. Folks, the things of the flesh are what people are claiming. This thing has to do that Paul said, we have no confidence in the flesh. Okay? Verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh he have where he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching a righteousness which in the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. The gain to me was the flesh. It put the standing of Israel as a man of importance. Let's say it that way. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge. So we're dealing with the knowledge. Write that up here. The knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. So, Christ Jesus has given Paul knowledge. Okay? for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And that winning Christ would be his approval, and those that would see Paul and what he had done trust the Lord also. Now let's keep that in mind. Now, as I was sitting there studying that, I thought, what a statement for a man that is in high authority to state about something he's lived all his life. And I thought, well, why did he use those terminologies, those words? And I had to study the Old Testament in idea of it. Now, what I want to do is, I want to understand, we go through here, I'm going to go to verse 5. Everybody go to 5 with me. Circumcised, the 8th day. All right? Turn Genesis 17. Hold on, just turn it down. Turn Philippians 3 down, because we'll be right back and forth to it. In Genesis 17. Now remember, this is before the law, right, Mrs. Boots? Oh, me. Genesis 17, verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you, thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thine house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Hello? Do I need to go any more point blank on that? That's what it says, right? Is that covenant there written in black and white? All right. Then, obviously, when Paul said circumcise the 8th day, what's he emphasizing? I'm part of it. I'm part of the covenant. I mean, if you think you got something to brag in the flesh, I'm more. I'm a circumcised male of the 8th day. Part of the covenant, okay? Now, look with me in Acts 13. Now, remember, in Philippians he said, circumcised the 8th day, and then he got of the stock of Israel. Okay? Acts 13. This stock, and the word stock, having to do with offspring, in Acts 13, because he's going to give you his offspring heritage later in the verse. All right? Acts 13, verse 26, Paul stood before them, and he began to preach, and he said, men and brethren, children of the stock of who? Who had the covenant? Abraham. Okay? So, the stock of Abraham is any male child that's been circumcised the 8th day, or if bought circumcised as a Jewish proselyte. You with me? That's what you read in Genesis. Well, it don't matter what religion says. It don't matter what John Doe says. That's what the Bible says. That's the covenant. Okay? Now, so, the idea of the stock of Israel, then he's saying, I am part of Israel no matter what. Okay? Now, look with me in Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7. Folks, you may think I've got all of it. You ain't seen nothing yet. In Revelation 7. Now, understand. If Paul was the stock of Israel, if he is circumcised the 8th day, what would he think of a Gentile? Hey, with dogs. That's how you'll consider us, right? Jesus himself in Matthew 10 said, go not into the way of the Gentiles. The apostles weren't sent to the Gentiles, okay? So, in that instance then, we find that his apostleship is totally contrary to what he would do as a circumcised eighth-day stock of Israel Jew. Now, this is why I want you to see. Now, did Paul then have a heritage if he knew in his stockship of what tribe he was? He's of the tribe of Benjamin. That's in Philippians. Now, watch. In Revelation chapter 7, look with me in verse 8. Folks, there's got to be something he's given up that he says, when he says he counted it dung, but dung, that had to mean something to these circumcised individuals that worshiped in the flesh, who now worshiped in the Spirit. Now watch this. In Revelation 7, look with me in verse 8. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. So, is Benjamin accounted as one of the tribes in Revelation? Okay. Now, in 1 Timothy, I apologize, go to Romans 11. Romans 11, and then we'll go to Timothy. Now remember, this is a circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Okay? This man is giving up more than you are, scripture-wise. But you think about what this man's giving up. Okay? In Romans chapter 11, verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles. Would he have done that before? Okay? How do we know he wouldn't? Absolutely. Folks, this is the people that he hated, but time passed. Okay? He said, I speak to you Gentiles, insomuch as I am the apostle of... Okay, what did Jesus think of him now? They hate him. Okay? I am the apostle of Gentiles, I magnify. Now, what's magnify? Well, you use magnifying glass when you get old four. You make it bigger so you can see it. And Paul didn't walk around and say, oh, we've got him and give me that apostleship. Somebody said, who are you the apostle of? I don't know. What do you do with his office? He magnified it. He made it known. He made it gloriously known that I am the apostle of Gentiles. Now, to be the apostle of Gentiles, he can't be in the country. Because the Gentiles he's going to deal with aren't in the covenant. Remember, and time passed. All right, now watch this. In 1 Timothy, chapter 1, have you ever noticed that in this day and age, Gentiles are trying to act like Jews by claiming the whole Bible? And they call themselves spiritual Israel? Huh? They're following Jewish doctrine, claiming Jewish doctrine, even though they're a Gentile. Both of them didn't even know what Gentile is. They have to let the Mormons tell them what they are. The Mormons call us Gentiles because we're not part of the Mormon flock. What they don't know is they're Gentile too. That's like pot calling the kettle black. That's like somebody saying, you know, them Pharisees were sinners. Well, you're a Pharisee. You're keeping teaching the law or ordinances or commandments that aren't scriptural by the Lord. All right? Well, think about this in an idea. You've got Gentiles out here that aren't in covenant. Okay? You've got Jews that in the covenant killed the Lord. Yes? Are these circumcised Jews that denied their Messiah? Absolutely. Man, when you go to Acts chapter 2, Those are devout men, devout Jews out of every nation that come to worship at Pentecost. Okay? Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Well, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save what? I thought he came into the world to get good folks. No, he came to get sinners. Why? Of whom I am chief. Man, that's hard to explain when he said, as touching the righteous in the law, blameless. The chief, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. What did Paul say that everything he did in the flesh was? Okay. What if a very zealous Gentile today acting like a Jew, but wouldn't get in the covenant of circumcision because he said, oh, circumcision is the Old Testament, and would say, well, let's use Baptist. I'm a Baptist, but baptism don't say, well, you're not reading the Scripture because in 1 Peter it says it does. It said, water which doth now also save us, and that has nothing to do with us, folks. That's Peter. And so a Gentile today, he acts like he's part of the Old Testament covenant because he's claiming the Old Testament Scriptures. And in claiming those Old Testament Scriptures, he's still a Gentile, but he is totally ignorant, just like a Jew was. Now watch. There's a pattern. And that pattern said everything he did, heritage of a Jew, is done. Hello? And that Gentile who is in his, he's in the height of his zeal in religion, claiming he's like a spiritual Jew, everything he has is, don't get worse, folks. We're just starting to go out here. Now, look with me in, and by the way, do you know who Benjamin was? He was the last son of Rachel, the youngest son of Rachel. And it was Jacob's youngest son, and she died when she had him. Now, keep that in mind. Just something to think about. Now, here's the catcher. Hebrew of the Hebrews. You're looking at me like, I don't care. Hebrew of the Hebrews. That has to have a meaning, does it not? Okay. Turn with me to Romans 11. In Romans 11. Folks, I really want you to see this. It's very important because... I'll just wait. Okay. By the way, did you enjoy the cake?
Yes.
Okay. Romans 11:1. Romans 11:1. I say that, had God cast away his people, God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. You see those things he's laying out? Very important, aren't they? Very, very important. Turn to 2 Corinthians 11. I ask people, they say, they say, are you saved? Well, I joined the church, turned from my sins, and I became on the roll of the Baptist Church, Methodist, whatever. I said, really? Well, you sound like Paul before he counted it done. Now watch. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 22. Are they Hebrews? This is Paul. You know, he's been persecuted, he's been whipped, he's been, really put down for what he's doing. And he's saying, I ask you, am I not also a Hebrew? Now look at the verse. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Oh my. Now why do the Jews hate him? He no longer put any stock in their religious acts. Okay? Now, in their religious acts, did they do their tables yearly and constantly? Did they do their Passovers? Did they do their sacrifices? And so forth and so on. Okay? Keep that in mind. So they ate off of it. Turn to Acts 23. And she was sitting on the bed last night, and I was studying. I don't come over here and use any power anymore. I don't have to because it's expensive. So I study on my bed. I got a chair turned sideways, and we were sitting there listening to music. She was reading, and she was smocking, and I was studying. And something hit me, and she looked at me, and she said, "Where are you at?" And I said, "This will work your brain." In Acts 23, look with me in verse 6. He said, "But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other part were the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, 'Men and brethren, I am a what? The son of a Pharisee.'" Hello? Are you registering this? "I am a Pharisee, the son of the hope and resurrection of the dead. I am called in question." All right? Turn with me to Acts 26. Now you're going to find out what a Hebrew of the Hebrews is. In Acts 26:5, "Which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a what?" Not only was he a Pharisee, he lived a Pharisee. Now, go back with me to Philippians and you can see this. In Philippians 3. Because all you have to do is read the directions. Okay? In Philippians 3:5, "Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin." That would be fine. That would be a normal Hebrew. Right? Wouldn't that be a normal Hebrew? Would that not be of the stock of Abraham in the sense of the covenant of the circumcision? Was it not given to Abraham in Genesis 17 before the law? Are we in agreement before the law? Okay? Then verse 5, "And Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee." That's the Hebrew of the Hebrews. Were the Pharisees important? Yes, they were. We have now read in verse 8, a Pharisee that said everything he did was but done. What in this world could that mean? Turn to Romans 12. Everybody, look here. Go. You there? Go. Shake it off. Put a smile on your face. Okay. You're not going to like the rest of it. Now, not for you, but you're not going to like it for your friends and neighbors. In Romans 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore," that's chapter 11, "the therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice," not a dead sacrifice, "a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If a sacrifice is good, it is a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of Almighty God." Keep that in mind. Okay? Exodus 29. It hit me like a rock last night about some things that I've known all along, but how to put it together about this. In Exodus 29, "The Lord God Almighty is the only one who can show it to you, I guarantee you." In Exodus 29, so if you don't say it's my fault. Exodus 29, but I'm going as good as I can, so bear with me. Exodus 29. This is about verse 9. And thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them, and the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute, and thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. Now, reckon what we're going to be talking about. The priesthood. Correct? All right. Now, I'm going to put a Old Testament book up here. We're not going there yet. Ezekiel. Ezekiel. Now, look with me in verse 10. And thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock, and thou shalt kill the bullock before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt take the blood of the bullock and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger, and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. Thou shalt take all the fat that is covereth the inwards, and the caul that is above the liver, and the two kidneys, the fat that is upon them, and burn them where? But the flesh of the bullock, and his skin, and his, thou shalt burn with fire without the camp. It is a sin offering. The dung is a sin offering. Are you with me? Keep that in mind. Okay? Turn with me. And before you go, can you tell me where the Lord was killed? Outside the camp. Can you tell me what, when Paul made the statement and became the apostle of Gentiles, what the Jews put him? Outside the camp. You know why you're in this Bible study today? Because you're outside the... You're not in the clique. You with me now? Keep on. Turn to, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 4. But we're going to read a couple of the passages first. And Ezekiel 4 will be the gist of it. You're going to love this. Go to Ezekiel 1 first to get the idea here. What do you think Ezekiel is? A what? Okay. Ezekiel 1, verse 3. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest. And that's very important. Who is Ezekiel? The priest. And what God is fixing to have Ezekiel do, you ain't going to lie. They didn't like it Wednesday night, we were talking about it. All right. He's the priest, yes or no? Well, there's something that must be going to come out of this about a priest. Now, what do we know about the priests of the Old Testament? They got totally perverted. They started acting on the love of money, the root of all evil. They acted like the Gentile God leaders. You know what I mean? A priest was to be dedicated. Eli and his sons weren't dedicated any longer and died. Hophni and Phinehas, I mean, they brought women into the tabernacle. They brought women in the tabernacle. The big question today is women preachers. Are you with me? This direct contradiction of God's word, but that don't mean nothing. You know, God changed his mind. Okay. Watch. Look in Ezekiel 3, verse 5. All right, is he a priest? Ezekiel 3, 5. For thou art not sent strange speech, or of an hired language, but to who? Who? And I know who he's sent to. I just read it, right? And being sent to them, they're not going to listen to him, or they will. And the thing I want you to see is, verse 7, but the house of Israel will not hearken to thee, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impenitent and hard-hearted. Do you know why they killed Stephen? He said, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Okay? Look with me in verse 17. Son of man, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 3:17. I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth. As I read this, people ask me, what do you think God's going to do to preachers that aren't preaching the truth? Well, you can watch right here. You'll find out. He said, therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. And what a preacher's supposed to do? He's supposed to warn you. Okay? When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Guess what the preacher's got to answer for? He's got to answer for the blood of people that die in death. Because he didn't show them that Jesus Christ had already died for their sins and buried, rose again the third day, and there was nothing they could do, and everything they have ever done is done without trust. He said, verse 19, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. That's serious, folks. Imagine when Ezekiel's hearing this, it's like, no matter what, I have to warn them. I want you to think about in your life, sometimes you have denied somebody the truth because you weighed the situation of what's it going to cost me. And you just put their blood on your hand. Now, Ezekiel 4. I've not got time to read all of it. If you want to read Ezekiel 4, bow down to verse 8. He tells Ezekiel, I want you to lay on your side, one side. On the left side or right side, you have to read, I think, left side. And verse 4, lay thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, and shall bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. They got to lay on his left side 390 days. Oh, Ezekiel's having fun, ain't he? If he don't do it. You understand if he don't do it. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Not the gospel of condemnation, folks. I don't have to condemn you. You already know you done broke the laws of God in your mind. I'm trying to show you that Jesus Christ, when he died for your sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. God forgives you for Christ's sake. He didn't forgive you for your sake. He forgave you for Christ's sake. Why? We in this room are not worthy of His mercy. His mercy and His grace is without merit. It is a God-given thing through His Son, the blessed Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. And then He goes to His right side. It's 390 year, days on one side and 40 days on the other for years and whatever. But what I want to look in verse 9, take thou also unto thee wheat and barley. And he's doing this out in the open so that Israel can see what he's going to do. Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and finches and put them in one vessel and make thee bread there. How many like the cake in there? How many like a cake? Was it good? We use cow dung with it. Now, what if you'd have seen me make it with cow dung? That's what the warning is. Now, watch. He said, according to the number of days, verse 10, And thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be by weight 20 shekels a day from time to time thou shalt eat it. Thou shalt drink also water by measure, the sixth part of a hin, from time to time shalt thou drink. And thou shalt eat it as barley cakes, and thou shalt bake it with that cometh out of man in their sight. Now, why is he doing that? In their sight. He's showing them that everything they've been doing is done. Hello, folks. Now, if I was to bake a cake here and I put cow's dung or man's dung in it, I guarantee you'd all run out of here. You'd never touch another bite I ever cooked. What if you learned that your religion was dung? Wouldn't you run out? Come on! That's why preachers hate me, Burma or anybody else. Why? We've exposed them. It's dung that they're doing. They're eating dung. A sin offering. Let's read. And the Lord said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I'll drive them. The Gentiles' defiled bread is just like dung. Hello? It got quiet in here. Being afraid to expose it, you're putting the blood on your hands. Not standing for what you believe, you're putting the blood on your hands. Say, well, I don't want to lose my friends or my relatives or my kinfolk and all that. I'm going to make them mad. You better make them mad. They're headed for death. Your responsibility. Think about my responsibility in this. People say, you got a lovely life. Yeah, buddy, I got a lovely wife. Now watch this. He said, they're going to eat, I'll drive them. Then said I, oh, Lord God, behold, my soul is not polluted, have been polluted, for from my youth up, even until now, I have not eaten of any of that which dieth of itself, or is torn in pieces, neither came there abominable flesh into my mouth. Then he said unto me, lo, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung. Thank you. Dung is dung. Yeah, that made it more better there. Harold goes to noon and Faye says, I got some wonderful muffins for you. And Harold says, great, he's biting into them. Boy, that tastes really good because she flavored it up. She said, how do you like them cow dung muffins? He probably would never trust her again. Hello? Why would you ever go back into a system that made you eat dung of absolutely defiled bread? Did you ever wonder why the Lord said through Paul, unless you eat of that bread and drink of that cup, everything you're doing is defiled? There are people all over the United States that look forward to next Sunday. It has nothing to do with the Lord. Nothing whatsoever. They have made it into their religion. Now, I wonder what else we're going to read here. He says in verse 16, moreover he said unto me, son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight and with care, and they shall drink water by measure and with astonishment, that they may want bread and water, and be astonished one with another, and consume away for their... The dung represents the iniquity they're in. And they're watching this man eat cow's dung. And going, what is this all about? And Ezekiel would tell them, this is what you're doing. Now, back to that thing about a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 one more time. Are you all right? It sure got quiet in here. You never trust your wife's cooking again, will you? Philippians 3, verse 8 again. Well, what things were gained to me, verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. You realize that the Lord revealed to Paul that everything you did is done. It's the work of the flesh, and it will not get you to my Father. I died for your sins. I became sin for you. I knew no sin, that I might make you the righteousness of God in belief in Christ. Now watch this. And I didn't quote that. You understand what I'm saying? Now watch this. For whom I suffered the loss of all things and do count. Count. That's like accountability. All the religious Israel put stock in. Turn with me to Romans 10. In Romans 10. Wouldn't you love to know that the things you did here was a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of a living God? All right, now watch. Romans 10, 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for it not be saved. Remember, did he say, I magnify my office? Well, for I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. People went into a building today with zeal. They don't have any knowledge because they're not looking at what God said. They're listening to what the preacher says. But the preacher's not warning them they can get out of death by trusting the Lord only. They're telling them to trust the Lord, and then you turn from your sins and you ask Jesus in your heart. That's not scriptural. Okay? Then if you sin, you confess sins. They just denied the cross. Why? He that died for all your sins, or he didn't die for any of them. Okay? Well, they being ignorant of God's righteousness. What is God's righteousness? If God lets you come into the world, God's got to take care of you, for salvation belongs to him. Why? He did let Satan in the garden. And by letting Satan in the garden and giving Adam a choice, you have no choice if God don't give you a choice. And God's righteousness is, he gives you a choice. And that choice is, you can trust him because salvation belongs to him, or you can go in death. So here's your choice. Life or death. If you go into death, you will always be naked. You will always be in the lake of fire. You will never be in the presence of God ever again. Your eternal destiny is the lake of fire where you will burn, your soul will burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And a man that just simply by childlike faith trust, he has eternal life forever, ever, forever in the presence of God with a new body and in the work of God Almighty forever. What a choice. And it's just, all you have to do is trust it. In verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's right, going about to establish their own right, how in God's name would you ever present to God something better than what Jesus Christ did for you? God, I've got a gift for you. Yeah, what kind of gift you got? I made the heaven and earth where you dwelled. I made your body that you lived in. What do you want? Well, Lord, I thought I had it, but it came up here and my bag's empty. It dissolved. That's right. I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I stand up there and I'm afraid to look at God. God says, aren't you glad to be here? Amen. I thank God that Jesus Christ died for my sins. He said, you're mine. Thank you, Lord. I did nothing to get to God except believing. Nothing. Can I do anything to stay with Him? No. God healed me because of my vileness. And the day comes when the Lord will call me out because I believed. I trusted Him. If you tell me there ain't a day in your life when something don't change, they went from struggling and wrestling with it to now I'm free and clear. Yes, there's a difference. You don't tell me a man that's been in prison for 5 years, when he gets to that gate and he walks out of that gate, saying something different. He looked at the sky, he looked at the grass under his feet, he looked at his wife that's been waiting for him, and I guarantee you he can look back and see where he's been, and he ain't going back if he don't, can't help it. He likes where he's at. I like that I'm saved and I'm not eating dung cakes. Now watch this. Verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteous, going back to establish their own righteousness and not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Submission! I submit to the fact that somebody lived better than I did, somebody pleased God better than I did, somebody died for my sin, somebody went into hell for me, and somebody rose for me. I submit to that. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for us, everyone that believeth. They're eating the dung of the law now. A perverted law. They think they can change it with offerings and works that they do. God changed His mind about things now. He can have women preachers, and He can have homosexuals as preachers and priests, and He can have priests, and He can have this, and He can have that. He didn't change His mind. I told my kids, they got marks on their body. I said, God didn't change His mind on that. And wouldn't it be a shame to go to heaven with those marks on you? And God, every time He looked at you, He's like, He said He'd change our vile body and fashion it. That same body, it won't have blood. He didn't say the skin wouldn't look alike. Jesus' skin, I'm not mistaken, looked alike. Had holes in it. Just something to think about. Cruel, ain't I? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. Folks, you can do whatever you want. I'm not a judge on that. I don't care. You know why? I care if you believe. I never judge anybody how they look, what they drink, what they smoke. None of that. You know why? You smoke the wrong things, the law will judge you on that. You drink the wrong things and drive, the law will judge you on that. I'm not judging you on that. Folks, if I wanted to have a beer, I'd have a beer. If I wanted to have a glass of whiskey, I'd have a glass of whiskey. If I wanted to get a tattoo, I guess I'd get a tattoo. Now, I can tell you one thing. You better trust the Lord. Because if you don't, you're going to die. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are, what? Saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Here's the pattern. I received something. What was it? How that Christ died for our sins. You know what He died for? Say it again. Say it again. According to the Scripture. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. That's the power of God to save you. Now, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Yeah, and I was in Walmart, which is not my favorite place, by the way. I very seldom go to Walmart, so I went the other morning, Saturday morning real early, and there was a black lady and her son, a very nice young man, were in the Bible section there, and I was looking at the 400th anniversary King James I've got in there for $5. It's old English. You can't read it, but you can read it, but it's old and it's got the F's or the S's and And they're looking at it and said, would you like to know why you ought to buy King James? She said, well, yeah. And I showed her the faith of Christ. And then I had her turn to Matthew 18 in the NIV and I said, read it to her. Well, it ain't there. And I said, the King James is the only one that preserves the faith of Christ, and it don't take away or remove from things that are needed, the inspiration of God. And so we walked up. The young man, real nice, I had him read 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel. Had him read it. And I said, now you've read it. Walked off, and I was going to buy one of them. I decided I didn't want it. And Kathy took it back. She come back, and she told me, she said, the boy, or the woman, I can't remember which one, said that their cousin was a preacher, and they were going to show him Matthew 18:11. Good luck. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. You ever walk up to a preacher and ask you to be saved? Oh my God, that's like, that's touching the Pope, ain't it? What church you come in contact with? Hey, I've got to know something. Are you saved? You'll infuriate him. I long for days when people would just walk up to me and say, well, Jerry, are you saved? I'm saying, sir, I'll tell you about it, buddy. I'd love to tell you. It's the testimony I love to give. That's or John 3:16. Most of them do that, yeah. I asked a man that over at the soccer field last, or year before last, and he made him mad. He wanted me to get away from him. And I said, after what you preached, that seems he got away from me too. Second Corinthians chapter 2, look with me in verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a what? Turn with me to Ephesians 5. You know why? You know why you'd be a sweet smelling savor? Because Ephesians 1 said we're holding without blame before him in love. Dung is put out of the camp. Now watch. By the way, for you campers and all that, where you dig your latrine at? Away from the smell. The Lord even emphasized, he said, take your paddle and go down there where it don't smell and dig your hole for your paddle. I mean, like God don't know you're going to go to the bathroom. But he's telling them what to do with it. Put it out of the camp, folks. Yeah, I mean, come on. The one thing that displeases me about milking cows, they will dump right there where you're milking. They're rude. They're just plain rude. You know, a goat won't do that. A milk goat, she won't go to the bathroom there. She got more manners than a cow. Ephesians chapter 5, look with me in verse 1. Okay? He said, be therefore followers of God as what? As I hold Molly, as small as she is, you just want to squeeze her. She's a dear little child. She smiles, has a great smile and all that. Yeah, she'll learn. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Do you remember what the dung, skin, and flesh offering was for? A sin offering. What was Jesus Christ offering for? For sin outside the camp. Ephesians 2, verse 10. I hope Mary's all right. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If you're walking in his good works, what happens will be a sweet-smelling savor, won't it? Now let's turn to Philippians, the last here. Philippians 4, and you check by this one, if you're a believer. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, before I read on, if you give to the dung eaters, you're bidding them Godspeed. You understand what I just told you? Somebody says, well, why don't you come to our church? Why? I know what you believe. You eat dung. They eat the Lord's Supper all the time, and it has not anything. The way they do it is not according to the Scriptures. You can't eat it in the church. It was eaten in a house. The people that did eat it in a house, believed it, they sold their house. Okay? In Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned whatever state I am, therewith be content. I've learned that through the years. Like I told you many times, you're my hope. That's all I have. I know both, and what was the priest's hope? He was to live of the Leviticus priesthood. Now watch this. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my afflictions. That's thing. Okay? Now watch this. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. And even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that I may abound, that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I'm full, have received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Listen. An odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know why grace people don't give? Because they don't listen. They don't listen. God supplies my need. If you could get more fruit, if you did. That's something people don't learn. And it takes them a while if they ever learn it. You know, it's amazing. People get saved, and immediately when they get saved, they start giving. And then as they go, it goes down, and it goes down, and it goes down, until it's fried rabbit tracks and fresh air. And they have no longer a sweet smell. You came out from eating dung cakes. Be the example that you will not eat the dung cakes, and that those that are eating dung cakes, tell them why they're eating dung cakes. And tell them to quit eating it. And eat the true bread. And drink the true blood. Because Christ died for our sins. Are you with me? I appreciate you.